The example of high-temperature superconductivity may help to explain the special and limited sense in which elementary particle physics is more fundamental than other branches of physics. Right now, Anderson and other condensed matter physicists are trying to understand the puzzling persistence of superconductivity in certain compounds of copper, oxygen, and more exotic elements at temperatures far above what had been thought possible. At the same time, elementary particle physicists are trying to understand the origin of the masses of quarks and electrons and other particles in the Standard Model. The two problems may happen to be related mathematically, as we shall see. They both boil down to a question of how certain symmetries of the underlying equations become lost in the solutions of the equations. Condensed matter physicists will doubtless eventually solve the problem of high-temperature superconductivity without any help from elementary particle physicists, and when elementary particle physicists understand the origin of mass, it will very likely be without direct inputs from condensed matter physics. The difference between these two problems is that when condensed matter physicists finally explain high-temperature superconductivity, whatever brilliant new ideas have to be invented along the way, in the end the explanation will take the form of a mathematical demonstration that deduces the existence of this phenomenon from known properties of electrons, photons, and atomic nuclei. In contrast, when particle physicists finally understand the origin of mass in the Standard Model, the explanation will be based upon aspects of the Standard Model about which we are today quite uncertain, and which we cannot learn, though we may guess, without new data from facilities like the Super Collider. Elementary particle physics thus represents a frontier of our knowledge in a way that condensed matter physics does not. This does not in itself solve the problem of how to allocate research funds. There are many motives for doing scientific research: applications to medicine and technology, national prestige, mathematical athleticism, and the sheer joy of understanding beautiful phenomena are all fulfilled by other sciences as well as, and sometimes better than, by elementary particle physics. Particle physicists do not believe that the uniquely fundamental character of their work gives them a first charge on the public purse, but they do believe that it is not a factor that can be simply ignored in decisions about the support of scientific research. Possibly the best-known attempt to set standards for making this sort of decision is that of Alvin Weinberg. Alvin Weinberg and I are friends, but we are not related. In 1966, when I was first visiting Harvard, I found myself at lunch in the faculty club with the late John Van Vleck, a crusty and patrician old physicist